On one.
On Freak Info Talk.
To begin with, how has the role of spin changed over the decades you've seen cricket?
Well, I'd say the limited over game has made the major change to spin bowling because the role of the spin bowler was varied. When I first started playing, for example, you used to break partnerships. In the first couple of days of a match, you were only ever expected to be a partnership breaker, really. And then perhaps on the last couple of days, you're expected to play more of a major role. And in recent years, with the entry of Shane Warne, who comes on the first hour of a test sometimes and then just completely dominates, it's on good pitches. I'm not talking about on bad pitches. It sort of changed, it's flexed that way. But the difficulty, I think, that I'm reading at the moment is that captains, coaches seem to be of the opinion that spin bowlers either are there to rest the pace bowlers, or alternatively, they're there to just keep it tight. They're not allowed to risk runs to gain reward. So, and I think that's the biggest change. In the 60s, when I first started, you were allowed to get hit around the park a bit as long as you managed to get wickets, and it was based more on your strike rate than on how many runs that went off you. So that's been the major change. Limited over cricket has influenced bowlers to bowl more negative lines and not the attacking lines. And I don't know, with the advent of, say, 2020 coming in now, I don't know how we advance. We'll never go backwards, unfortunately. It would be nice if we could. If we could turn the clock back to, if we could move away from Warne and his quality. Think about wrist spinners that have been in the game before, and they've nearly all gone for runs, nearly all.
So what are the challenges of being a spinner in modern cricket then?
Getting a bowl, a huge challenge, just getting a bowl at club level and through to first class level. But once you get to first class, the tendency is then to give you a bowl. But then when you get that bowl, it's allowing you to be the free spirit instead of to be restricted to men around the bat, push them through, don't let the batsman play a stroke, don't free their arms up, and all those things that go with the modern thoughts on how a spinner should bowl. So that's where I see that.
Do spinners spin it much less today?
I think the capacity to spin it is still there, but to spin it, you actually have to flight it up. And if you flight it up, there's always that risk of over-pitching, being batsmen getting you on the full, and so therefore the risk of runs being scored. So if we consider the general mentality of a spinner trying to bowl dot balls and bowl defensive lines, then you can't spin it. I'll give you, for example, an off-spin bowler bowling at middle and leg. How far does he want to spin it? If he's going to spin it, he needs to bowl a foot outside off and spin it back. But if he has to bowl a defensive line, then the spin, he sacrifices the spin. Otherwise, he just bowls down the leg side. Leg spinners bowling at leg stump or just outside. There's been so few over the years leg spinners capable of spinning the ball from just outside leg, passed off. Been so few. And yet that's the line they tend to bowl. So, no, I don't think they spin it any less. I think the capacity to spin it is still wonderful. And I see lots of little kids. This is what makes my job so enjoyable. I see little kids spinning the ball a long way. And when I do that, if I've got, say, 30 kids or so, I take the little kids over to the big kids. And I say, have a look, watch these big kids bowl. And the big kids are all running in from big long runs, jumping high in the air and firing them down there. And more importantly, going straight. And I say to these little kids, they once were like you. And the one of you that hangs onto their spin all the way through is the one that's going to go forward.
Great spinners have always bowled at the batsman and not to the batsman. But the trend these days, like you just talked about briefly, is spinners are becoming increasingly defensive. So what happens?
First of all, they play him out of his age group. Now we've got all this age group cricket. The idea of finding a good young talent, when people identify that, they then move him up and play him in the higher grade or in the higher age group. It seems like I would have suggested, because there wasn't all the different age group cricket around many moons ago, And when that happened, you tended to play, if you were a young person, you went into the seniors and you played in the bottom grade. And then you played there for a few years while you learnt your craft, and then they moved you to the next grade. And so you kept going till you sort of came out the other end, and that could be at age, anywhere from age 19, 20, 21 or whatever. Now, the expectation is that by the time you're 16, in a lot of cases, by the time you're 16 or 17, you're supposed to be mastering this craft. It's a long apprenticeship, but if you find a good 10 or 11 year old boy, he's got a 10-year apprenticeship, roughly, at least. You know, I mean, there's a rule of thumb here that says that if the best there's ever been, if it's Shane Warne, which is every reason to believe it is, and he sort of started to strike his best at 23, 24, what makes us think we can find 18 and 19-year-olds to do it today? I mean, he's only been out of the game for half an hour, yet we're already expecting kids to step up to the plate much, much, much before they're ready. It's a game of patience with spin bowlers and developing them. It's a game of patience, and it's so important, you know, that we are patient in helping them understand their need for patience, but at the same time understanding from our side of the fence, that's the coach, captain, etc., that we need to understand that them and allow them to be scored off, allow them to learn how to defend themselves, allow them to understand that there are times when you do need to defend, but most of the time the art of the spin bowler is to invite the batsman to drive. It's to get the batsman to look to drive you. That's where your wickets come, and that's where you spin it most.
So the coach's role is important when you mention about developing the spinner and being patient. Two things. I was reading Warne's autobiography, and he writes that you never imposed, that is, TJ never imposed himself as a coach.
With Warne, when I first met him, he bowled a leg break for me, and he spun it nearly 3 feet. 2 feet 6, we'll say, okay? And I just was in awe of such a delivery. And all I wanted to do for the rest of my life, I think, was try and help that young man become as good as he could be, the best he could be. And that was just to help him understand his gift, to help him understand what he has. And to that end, I never tried to change him and things like that. That's what he meant by imposing himself. We established a good relationship based on the basics of bowling, and his basics were always pretty good. And over the years, he's wandered away from them, and then we sort of work him back to them. And that's probably happened, you know, 10 or a dozen times, I don't know, a lot of times over his career where he's bowled a lot of overs and some bad habits have come in. It's not a case of standing over him, it's just making him aware of where he is at the moment and how he could be back to where he was, where he was spinning them, curving them and whatever. And his trust was the most important gift that he gave me. He gave me his trust, and in doing so, it's an important thing for a coach to understand not to breach that trust. And that trust doesn't mean about secrets. It's about the trust of information you give him that won't harm him. And to that end, that was our relationship.
Okay. What about the role of coaching these days? From the outside, it feels there could be some overcoaching.
I think coaching, like there's so many coaches now, the world over, and we have specialist coaches, we have general coaches, and we've got sports science and psychology. The coaching has changed, and the role of a coach, like I think Shane said in his retirement speech that he referred to me as his technical coach, which he really means technique, and he's Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil is a psychologist. Used to be on the Oprah Winfrey show. And that means that when he wanted someone to talk to, I was a good bouncing board for him. And he said, and this is the proudest thing I received, or the greatest, most uplifting thing that I've ever had said about me, really, and that is that he said that whenever he rang me, when he hung the phone up, he always felt better for having made the call. And that could be...
When Warne came to you, one of the first mantras you shared with Warne was, think high, spin up. What does that mean?
When I first met Shane, his arm was quite low, and given I didn't have any genuine experience of coaching spin, I asked Richie Benno about, I saw him in a commentary box, and I said to him, you know, with regards to this young Shane Warne fellow, it's my view that his shoulder is a bit low. And Richie said to me, if he spins it up from the hand, as long as he spins it up from the hand, it'll be fine. But it was really when it came to the top spinner. We're trying to introduce variations to his bowling. And we talked about the top spinner, and I said to him at that time, you know, you're going to have to get your shoulder up to get that top spinner to spin over the top. Otherwise, if it's down low, it won't produce and it won't create any shape. So when he got back to his mark, the one thing, the trigger in his mind was think high, spin up. And when he did that, he spun up over the ball and developed the top spinner. And quite often, in the case of the leg break, it was think high, spin up, because his arm tended to get lower, especially after the operation.
When I was sitting in Chennai during the appraisals you were giving to the kids, you mentioned about risk for reward theory.
Yeah.
Could you briefly explain exactly, because you said that this is the most important thing.
This is part of learning the art and the craft, and that is that it's impossible for you to try and take a wicket every ball you bowl, but when you're really young, that's what you do. You just try and spin it as hard as you can and take the consequences, and that usually means we don't get to bowl many overs. But the art of improving is when you learn how to get into your overs, get out of your overs, and use the middle overs, the middle deliveries in the over to attack. And I call those the risk and reward, the balls in your over. In other words, you do risk runs off those deliveries, and you also can gain reward. So I called them risk and reward. There's no one around in the time that I've been around the game that could theoretically bowl six wicket taking balls and over other than SK Warne, because of the shape on the ball, where they arrived and whatever. So the likes of Cumblay, he's trying to keep the lines tight and keep you at home while he works on you. But he's not trying to get you out every ball. He's working a plan. And in that over, the thing about the great bowlers, the excellent bowlers, is they rarely go for four or six off the last ball, and that was the point I made to the kids. That a mug like me used to continually go for four or six off the last ball of the over, trying to get a wicket so he could stay on. And when you do that, that's the last thing the captain remembers, it's the last thing your teammates remember, it's the last thing the selectors remember. So for that end, you're better off to bowl a quicker ball on line with the stumps that limits the batsman's opportunities to attack you. So in other words, I'm saying there is always a time when you need to defend, but you have to know how to attack, and that's why it's such a long apprenticeship.
Richie Beno writes in his book that his dad told them, keep it simple and concentrate on perfecting the stock ball. Beno himself says, don't even think about learning the flipper before you've mastered the leg break, top spinner and the wrong gun. Do you agree with that?
I totally agree with what Richie said. I mean, I don't see myself as authority on spin bowling. I see myself as a coach who has developed a solid learning by watching and working with the best there's been and a lot of other developing spinners. So I'm in a terrific, if you like, business class seat, because I get to see a lot of this stuff and learn from it. And, of course, I spoke to Richie Beno quite a lot over the years. And, you know, Shane spoke with Abdul Qadir, and he would feed back to me what Abdul Qadir said. So I've had the great benefits in that area, but most people relate your knowledge to how many wickets you took, and I don't think that's relevant. I think it's on your capacity to learn and deliver, to communicate that, what you've learned back to people. Richie's a wise man, and in the days when Richie played, there were 8-ball overs here in Australia. And if you could go at 4 and over, you were considered to be a pretty handy bowler. If you go at 4 and over now, they think you're too expensive. That's because they're 6-ball overs. But Richie was a great example of somebody who knew his strengths and developed and improved whatever weaknesses he might have had. He knew he wasn't a massive spinner of the ball, so therefore his line and length had to be impeccable. And, you know, he worked around that. If you don't have a stock ball, what is a variation? You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's 5 different deliveries a leg break bowler can bowl. But Shane Warne said on more than one occasion that because of natural variation, you can bowl 6 different leg breaks in an over. what's important is the line and the length that you're bowling that encourages or intimidates the batsman to get out of his comfort zone. And I think that's the key to it all. Richie spun his leg break a small amount by comparison with Warne. But because of that, his use of the slider and the flipper were mostly effective because he bowled middle and off those lines, whereas Warne, leg stump, outside leg stump.
In fact, Warne writes that what matters is not always how many deliveries you possess, but how many the batsman thinks you have.
Yeah, that's the mystery of spin, isn't it? That's the great thing about it is... I remember every year, every test series in Australia, Warnie, you come out with a new ball, a mystery ball or something like that. And the truth is, you know, there's only so many balls you can really bowl. You can't look like you're bowling leg break and bowling off break. Sonny Ramadan was very difficult to read. He bowled with his sleeves down back in the 50s and 60s, back in those days. He had a unique grip and a unique way of releasing the ball, as does Murali. And with what they do with their wrist, it's very difficult to pick between the off break and the leg break, but generally a leg break bowler has to locate his wrist in a position to enhance the spin in the direction he wants the ball to go, which means the batsman should be able to see the relocation of the wrist.
Beattie once said a lot of bowling is done in the mind. Does spin bowling require the most mental energy of all cricketing arts?
The thing about that is that Bishan Bedi, 260 test wickets or whatever, and who bowled against some of the very best players ever to go around the game, he had it at his fingertips, the control of spin and pace. Now, when you've got that, when you've developed that ability, then it's only about when to use them, how to use them. And so, therefore, it becomes a matter of the brain. You can't have the brain dominating your game when you haven't got the capacity to bowl a leg break or an off break where you want it to land. So that's why you have to practice the stop deliveries until it becomes just natural for you, almost blindfolded, that you can land them somewhere within a close proximity to where you want them to land. And then it just becomes mind over matter. Then the brain does take over. And I mean, there's nothing better than to watch a quality spin bowler of any ilk, left hand, right hand, I don't care, working on a quality batsman who knows that he needs to break the bowler's rhythm or he might lose his wicket. And so that contest is a battle of minds then. Because the quality batsman's got the technique.
Hmm.
And the quality bowler's got the capacity to bowl balls where he wants them. So therefore it becomes a battle of minds. And so Bishan's, you know, exactly right.
What came natural to someone like Bedi was flight. How about flight? Is flight the most important aspect of spin bowling?
When I was very young, someone said to me, you never beat a batsman off the pitch unless you first beat him in the air. And some people think that's an old-fashioned and past it way of bowling, but at a conference in England at Telford, Bishan said spin is in the air and break is off the pitch.
Correct.
Which supported exactly what that guy told me 40 years ago. And on top of that, he said the stumping was his favourite dismissal because you had beaten him in the air and then off the pitch. You wouldn't get too many coaches out there today that would endorse that remark, but that's because I don't think they necessarily understand what spin really is.
You were pointing out this to the kids that, interestingly, you said, if they can separate the one-day cricket shown on TV and the one-day cricket played at school level, then there is a chance a good spinner will come along.
You bowl a ball that's fairly flat and short of a length, and the batsman goes back and pushes it to the offside, the whole team claps. They think that's a great ball because no one scored off it. Then you come in and toss the next one up and the batsman drives it to cover and it's still no run. No one applauds it. They all breathe a sigh of relief that it didn't go for runs. That's the lack of understanding that we have within our team, I think, of the role of the spin bowler. You should be applauding when he's invited the batsman to drive because that's what the courage is. That's where the skill is. That's where the spin is. And that's where the wickets come. Bowling short of a length. You know, that's the role of a medium pacer, part-timer. Most spin bowlers have enormous attacking instinct, which gets suppressed by various captains, coaches and ideological thoughts in clubs and teams.
You talked in the beginning of the interview about patience being one of the most important aspects for a spinner. Can that be correct? I mean, patience is as important for a spinner as any, because the spinner has another chance even if he gets hit, but the batsman never gets a second chance.
I don't think you can compare the chances. The spinner gets hit, he gets taken off. Don't worry about that. If he goes for 10 or 12 off and over, they take him off. Batsmen have got a lot of things in their favour. So what I mean by the patience is that to develop the craft takes a lot of overs, a lot of balls in the nets, a lot of target bowling, and you don't always get a bowl. Even though you're doing all this week in and week out, you don't always get a bowl. So the need to be patient. And then when you walk onto the ground and finally one day they toss you the ball, it's very easy to behave in a hungry, desperate manner because you think, at last I got the ball. And you forget all the good things you do and you suddenly try to get a wicket every ball because it's your only hope of getting into the game and staying on. The result of that is you don't get to stay on and you don't get more games. So the patience, which is what you learn as you go along, can all come about if the spinner's allowed to develop at his pace instead of us pushing him up the rung because we think we found one at last, you know what I mean?
But how much of a role does attitude play over technique?
Attitude's an interesting thing. Depends on how you refer it, whether it's attitude to bowling, attitude to being hit, attitude to the game itself. When Warren was asked in front of a group of spinners, and I think on an interview, what does a leg spin bowler need more than anything else? He said love. And what he meant by love was love and understanding. You know, they need someone to put their arm around him and say, mate, it's okay, tomorrow's another day. Because you get thumped, mate. When you're trying to spin the ball from the back of your hand and land it in an area that's a very small target, that takes a lot of skill. And it also requires patience to develop that skill. That's what I mean by patience. And the patience also needs to be with the coach, the captain, and whoever else who's working with this young person, and the parents, to understand that he's not going to develop overnight and that pushing him up the grade before he's ready isn't necessarily a great reward for him because it puts pressure on him all the time. And any person who plays under pressure all the time, ultimately, the majority of them break. And that's what you want. You want them to come through feeling sure, scoring up lots of wins, feeling good about themselves, recognising their role in the team, and that for their teammates to recognise his role. I don't think enough people, coaches, selectors and whatever, I don't think enough let the spin bowler know what his role actually is. They get in the team and then he's got the ball and they told, here's the field, bowl to this. And in his mind, he can't bowl to it.
Could you kind of discuss the contemporary spinners, namely, you've already talked quite a bit about Warren, so we don't need to include him. Maybe the current players like Kumble, Harbhajan, Vettori, Kaneria, Monty and Murli, of course.
Of all of the spinners today, I think the one that I probably admire most of all is Daniel Vettori. He's come to Australia on two or three occasions. On each occasion, he's troubled the Australian batsman, and he's a man who doesn't spin a lot. What he's done is work out, he's got this amazing ability to change pace, force batsmen to look like they're going to be able to drive it, and suddenly they have to check the stroke. And that's a skill. If you haven't got a lot of spin, then you've got to have that subtlety of change of pace. So I think Daniel Vettori is someone that I've always rated highly. And, of course, Kumble, watching him bowl, I always marvel at the fact that he's worked his career around sort of mainly containment, at the same time bowling enough wicket-taking balls to get to 560 wickets or whatever he's got. And that's a skill in itself. And he's such a humble person as well, and I admire him. I marvel a little bit at Murli's wrist because it is very clever what he does with that. But to the naked eye, I can't tell what's 15 degrees and what's not. I've just got to accept the word of others. All I know is it would be very difficult to coach someone else to try and bowl like Murli. So we've got to put him on the, you know, I hate the word freak, but you've got to put him on that significant list of one-offs that probably won't ever be repeated. Harbhajan, don't see enough of him. He's in and out of the Indian side all the time. All I will say is that when I do see him bowl, I love the position of the seam. He has a beautiful seam position. Stuart McGill, I love the way he spins the ball. He's quite fearless in his capacity to spin the ball. I love the energy that young Chola displays in his bowling, the enthusiasm and the rawness, if you like. This is what I mean about pushing the boundaries. He's 18 years of age playing limited over cricket, and at the moment, he's bowling leggies and wrongers. I think that's terrific. But I hope the time doesn't come when he's not allowed to spin the ball. When he tries to hold his spot to keep Abhijan out, for example, so to do that, he's got to fire him in much quicker. He's already up in the 80 kilometres an hour mark, 50 over 50 mile an hour, which is quite healthy for an 18-year-old boy. But he still spins at that pace, so that's fine. But ultimately, if he's encouraged to bowl at a speed where he doesn't spin it, then that'd be the sad part for me. So that's why I say there's a lot of spin around, but it's the young developing spinner that's probably suffering from all the stuff on television that encourages defence as a reason for being successful as a spinner. Monty's an outstanding prospect. You've got to look at a guy and how he can improve. I mean, he's done very, very well. But how can he improve? He's got to have change-up. He's got to have a change of pace. At the moment, he bowls, if you look at the speed gun on any given over from Monty, it's about 56.2 miles per hour on average every ball. So he bowls the same ball, his line, his length, everything's impeccable. But then when it's time to knock over a tail, a couple of times he's been caught short because he hasn't been able to vary his pace. And I think Monty is such an intelligent bowler and person that he'll be in the nets working on that to try and make sure that he can invite the lower order to have a go at him and not just try and bowl them out. I think that's probably his area of concern. The rest of it is outstanding.
What are the attributes of a good spinner?
Courage, skill, patience, unpredictability in some ways, and I'll say spin. You get bits and pieces, but if you're going to ask what's the most important package, I would say that if he's got spin, then there's always a chance that he can develop some of the other areas. I describe it this way, that for all the brilliant things that people saw Shane Warne do, his greatest strength was the size of his heart, and that you couldn't see.
This is Nagaraj Kolapudi, looking for talk.